Music right there from The Devil Makes Three. That one's called 40 Days, and it's from I'm a Stranger Here. It's one of my favorite albums of last year. I am Juliet Frumholdt, your host here on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I am very, very happy to welcome our first guest into the studio. He's a Dayton native, but he hasn't been here in a while. But he's going to be playing tomorrow night at Canal Public House, along with Ford Theater Union and Todd Widener. We're going to chat with him here in just a moment. But first, I'm going to let Jeremy Little play a song for us.
Huckleberry child, won't you come onto my island, please? I have a raft that we can ride, and we'll hear this world's blue symphony. And down the river there's a place and we can go, far from life's debris. There's no more running when you finally know that you were always free. Oh, my huckleberry child, won't you come onto my island, please? I have a raft that we can ride, and we'll hear this world's blue symphony. And down the river we can ease our heavy load when we lay our burdens down. 'Cause life is heavy when you carry it alone, but we're not alone now. Oh, down the river there's a place and we can go, far from life's debris. There's no more running when you finally know that you were always free. Oh, my huckleberry child, won't you come onto my island, please? I have a raft that we can ride, and we'll hear this world's blue symphony. Huckleberry child, you're my huckleberry child. I have a raft that we can ride, will you?
Jeremy Little, live in the YSO studios. Welcome.
Thank you, Juliet.
Welcome back to Dayton.
Oh, it is, you know, it's a dream to be here. I haven't been here in so long. I'm bursting right now. I love it.
It's been what you said, over 10 years since you've played a show in town?
Yeah, far too long. And it's also part of the dream is being able to play Canal again, you know, and just play that stage. So much of my blood is still caked into that stage, I'm sure, you know.
So for people who may be a little too young to know, tell me a little bit about your musical roots here in Dayton.
Well, it all started when I was born. Well, a mutual friend of ours, Mr. Mm-hmm. Adam Edwards, you're getting a shout out, Adam. Thank me later. We had a band called Brother Joe. We were teenage punk rockers. And I grew up a little bit, and I got in a band called Special Patrol, and we changed our names to Lucky Machine, And then came Front Row for the Meltdown. And again, with our friend Adam. And that took us to Nashville, which took me and Ryan, the guitar player, to Los Angeles eventually. So.
And that's where you're presently based, is in L.A.
I'm in L.A. I've been there for 10 years now.
Making music out there as well?
Making music, yeah. I get to make music. It's a dream come true, you know. So
now you're doing it in more of a composer producer role professionally, right?
Yeah, you know, I do some film scoring. I compose for commercial jingles. You know, the dream, and which is the dream, by the way, it pays. So I do that, you know, and I get to, you know, produce artists as well, and that's amazing for me, you know, co-writing with artists, you know.
What's it like coming from a songwriter's perspective when you're tackling either co-writing with an artist that you're producing for or scoring a film or writing a jingle? Is there a different mindset you have to get into versus, you know, writing your own stuff like you're playing for us tonight?
Sure. When I write my own stuff, it's purely for my own pleasure. I don't have to please anybody, and that's fantastic. But When you write with another artist, for instance, and it's going to go on their record and it's their voice, those words are coming out of their voice, you have to make sure it's who they are, you know. Part of that is getting to know them, you know, and finding out who they are, and, you know, getting them drunk and finding out all their dark secrets, you know, so that you can make that their fingerprint, you know. It's specific to them, you know. As far as scoring music, you know, there's no words, so you're just adding subtext to, you know, you're just telling people how they should feel in case they don't know exactly, you know. So we're very helpful in that respect. Yeah.
That's got to be kind of a powerful role. I've seen some little comparisons of films with their score or without their score, or taking like a silent film and rescoring it, and how that adds so much to the mood and the subtext. That's got to be kind of an awesome responsibility when you're working on a project.
Well, thank you for calling it awesome. But yeah, it's fantastic, you know, and it's, you get to be part of this storytelling process, which is, in my opinion, is what all art really boils down to, is telling a story. And film is a very collaborative art. So you're one little piece of this very big thing that's happening. And, you know, it's fantastic. It's humbling in a way, you know, as an artist to get to be part of something like that. Even when it's a commercial and you're selling toothpaste, it's humbling because it's, you see that there's 400 other people trying to make this brilliant as well, you know, and you're adding your part. It's great.
And that's certainly got to be, again, like a third mindset, you know, working with somebody else and getting inside their head, conveying the emotion of a film, and then trying to sell a product or support selling a product through music.
Yeah. Well, I guess it could be a little difficult to wrap your mind around at first. And it was for me, for sure, coming from being a rocker dude and deciding I was going to be a proper musician. You know, there is a jump that you make, but it really boils down to the same thing. Like we said, it's storytelling. You're telling a story. Now, whatever that story happens to be, maybe the story is this product will make your life so miraculously better. Try it. Buy it. Give us money. You know, that's the story, you know. Or you know, whatever it is, that's the part you're trying to, you know, center in on. Whether you're writing a song for yourself, whether you're singing while you're doing your dishes at home, or whether, you know, you're on a stage, it's all, what's the story, and am I telling it properly, you know?
When did you sort of come to that realization about music, that it is storytelling? Was that something that you kind of always felt, or was there kind of a point in your career where it just clicked with you?
I think it was always lurking in the back of my mind. But one day when it really clicked with me, strangely enough, I was just in an art museum, and I was looking at a sculpture, and I realized that, you know, it's frozen. There's no motion. There's no sound. I'm just seeing this, like, still moment in time, but it's still telling me a story, you know. And, you know, and I realized that whether it's a piece of instrumental music, you know, no words at all, but there's still drama. There's still release. There's still building, and there's big parts and small parts, and you're telling a story that way, you know. So, you know, I try to keep all those things in mind when I'm writing. Yeah.
Well, speaking of storytelling, will you play another one for us?
Let me tell you a story, Juliet.
Oh, please do.
I love you madly. They say I'm mad for you. Mad for a touch of your skin. Mad for a taste of you. Love you to pieces. I love every piece. And when I try to calm my mind, my thoughts of you increase. Oh, I love you madly. Darling, it's true, yes, it's true. I'd forget you gladly. Oh, but I know there's no forgetting you. And I'm a blind man, blinded for your love. Can't see my hands before my face. Can't see the sky above. But I'm gonna catch ya. Catch you and make you mine. I'm gonna keep you for myself until the end of time. Oh, I love you madly. Darling, it's true, yes, it's true. I'd forget you gladly. Oh, but I know there's no forgetting you. Tell me your secrets, the ones you long to tell. I'll take your words to my grave with sounds of morning bells. Oh, I love you madly. Darling, it's true, yes, it's true. I'd forget you gladly. Oh, but I know. I'd forget you gladly. Oh, but I know there's no forgetting you.
Jeremy Little, live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. Now, I'm going to make an assumption here, but I bet I'm wrong, or maybe I'm not. Ooh. Since you typically are, you know, in your professional life, writing a lot of, you know, score music and things like that, do you typically come up with melodies first or lyrics first? Because my bet would be melodies, but prove me wrong.
You're bang on.
Melody.
I think melodically.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of write parallel, if that makes sense. I'm writing music and I'm writing words, and I'm trying to find which one reminds me of the other, you know. And so there is a process, if you will, of sort of matching things up, you know, finding their mate, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Now you have you brought with you one solo album, but you're working on something new, I understand.
I'm working on something new and exciting,
new and exciting.
Fantastic, and you know, mind-boggling. It's sort of paying tribute to my days as a young rude boy and doing you know, ska rhythms and sort of the old two-tone sound. You know, that I'm just to this day just in love with. I can't get enough of it. So I'm paying tribute to all that with my, my next record. And I have just the most stunningly amazing musicians involved. So I'm so happy about it right now.
Is that something that musically has stuck with you over the years, or something you've just sort of rediscovered stylistically?
I rediscovered it purely by accident. There was a television show that said, hey, do you have anything in this style? And I said, why, yes, I do. And I gave it to them, and it worked out. And, you know, and I just had so much fun doing it that I just kept with it, you know, and I'm having a ball. It's fantastic, you know. I really admire reggae and ska as a producer for the arrangements of them. I think they're some of the most brilliantly arranged songs out there. And so it's just time for me to geek out about music when I get to do that, you know.
That's awesome. To be able to geek out about something that you have such strong roots with, that's got to be wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic, you know.
Now, when you started out all those years as a young rocker, was music always the goal as a career, or was it just starting out like, hey, you know, like so many of us do when we're younger, I'm going to be in a band. Awesome.
I was pretty driven. It didn't take me long. I wanted to be an astronaut for a while, but after that it was musician, you know, and I never really thought of much else. Unfortunately, my studies at school reflected that. I still can't think of anything else. That's the problem. You know, I'd love to think of something else because it's a hard business. But yeah, I'm stuck with this, unfortunately.
There's kind of that point. I think Marc Maron said it on his podcast where you kind of know that it's your calling when you don't have any conceivable plan B anymore. Like you can't even conceive of like, oh, I'll go back and be a cook or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I should have learned to cook.
Well, can we hear another one?
I think we can.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. My stomach's been empty. I've been broke as a bum. And the breaks that I've had, we're as tough as they come. But I'm the luckiest man alive. I've been stabbed in the back. I've been kicked when I'm down. Been shown to the door, then shown out of town. But I'm the luckiest man alive. I've heard once or twice that this world can be cruel and life will be the death of us all. But I can't hate a world that could lead me to you, no matter what fate's befall. Now I'm bloody and bruised, but I'm lighter than air, 'cause it's you that I choose through all of life's cares. I'm the luckiest man alive. I've heard once or twice that this world can be cruel and life will be the death of us all. But I can't hate a world that could lead me to you, no matter what fate's befall. Now I'm bloody and bruised, but I'm lighter than air. It's you that I choose through all of life's cares. I'm the luckiest man alive. I'm the luckiest man alive. Yeah, I'm the luckiest man alive. Yeah.
Jeremy Little, live in the WYSO studios, and you can see him tomorrow night at Canal Public House. He's going to be hitting the stage with Todd Widener, and Ford Theater Reunion will be there as well. All the details on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Now, Jeremy, we touched on it right at the top, but to be back in town and to play on that stage after so long, that's got to be just... It's so exciting.
I'm out of my mind. I'm literally beside myself. I've been thinking, and I've been telling my friends in LA, like, I am literally nervous about this show. I haven't been nervous about a show in, I don't know the last time I've been, but I'm so pumped and amped for this. Just to stand in there, you know, and have the smell of Canal waft over me and get on that stage again, you know. And, you know, it's, there's so much of my DNA in that, you know, in that place where I sweat and you know, my... bled a little, I'm sure, and, you know, and it's a dream come true. I've wanted to do it for a very long time.
Yeah. What's it? What do you think, as a professional musician living in LA now? What do you think you took away from your time coming up in the Dayton music scene, or how did that foster your career to get you where you are now?
Well, I'll tell you, I learned almost every important lesson I learned about performing on the stage in Canal Street. And you know, I heard someone say once that the great thing about vaudeville was you had a place to be bad for a while. And that's what Mick gave to the city of Dayton. That's why it produced great artists, is we had a place to try things out. It didn't always work. And in my case, it very often didn't work. But I got to try everything out, you know. And that was a terrific freedom that you don't get in a lot of places. So it was just a vibe that was created there and fostered there, you know, where you got to click into it and look for something great in yourself, you know. It's fantastic. I could never pay Mick back for everything he did.
And it's got to be such a testament to go stylistically, to take that journey from, you know, I've talked to so many bands that say, you know, oh, we started off as punk rockers and now we're a bluegrass band, or we started off, you know, playing metal and now we're doing this. To be able to sort of step into those different genres and variations and flavors of rock and roll within one scene.
Right. Yeah. And that's the other thing is the scene supported that. Everybody was cool with that. You know, it's one thing to experiment, but it's another thing to experiment when everybody's saying, yeah, go man, go, you know? So it was, and that's what we got, you know, I mean, I was able to find myself there, you know, which is fantastic.
Well, what does the future hold for your music? Dayton gets you for tomorrow night, but what should people look forward to, and how should they keep tabs on what you've got going on?
Well, you know, if they want to keep tabs, there's the internet. That's a way. I have jeremylittlemusic.com, and you know, I have a Facebook thing where you can like me if you like. Please like me. I need that. I need liking. You know, and that's the way you keep tabs on me. As far as what I do, the world is my oyster, Juliet. I just want to keep creating music. I want to keep meeting inspiring artists that inspire me and working with them. And, you know, I want to keep writing, you know, that's my real love at the end of the day is I love the writing, you know, and I love in... I don't think everybody necessarily likes that part, but I sort of like the head scratching hours you spend trying to think of the one perfect word, you know, that's going to work there, you know. So I really enjoy it. As long as I can do that, you know, that's the future for me.
I have to ask you about that sort of head scratching part. I know some artists can agonize over that to the point where, you know, it takes forever just to get the song to a state where they're ready to share it or ready to put it out there. For you, in enjoying that head-scratching part and also working professionally, do you have kind of a system or a point where you can sort of say, okay, this is as done as I can get it. It's getting unleashed onto whatever, you know, project it's going to. Or do you have to kind of let the song dictate when it's done?
Well, yeah, there is a point where sometimes you say it's not done, but it's done enough. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm out of ideas, but it's got to get out there. And And that's something I've learned as a composer is you have deadlines, you know. Anybody that has deadlines in their work knows that you get to a point where maybe it's not the best thing in the world, but it's what I have, you know. So and in how that translates to my music is I think I'm okay letting go a little earlier than I used to be, you know. I used to sort of hold on to things just rewrite them over and over and over again and rewrite the chords and just do everything over and over and again. And with arguable results, you know, whether or not that made it better, who knows? But yeah, now I let go a little easier. So I put my things out there.
That's a good thing.
Maybe it is. That's the point. I don't know if it's a good thing, but I do it. That's the thing.
People are hearing them, so, you know.
Right.
Well, can we hear one more?
Let's hear one more.
All right.
She's forgotten where she left her keys and wonders if she's come down with a memory disease. So many recollections slip by without detection, but worst of all, she's forgotten that she's beautiful. It completely slipped her mind. It happens all the time. She's forgotten that she's beautiful. She's forgotten what she wants to say. Her mouth is hanging open like the words have been delayed. She's completely lost her train of thought. It ran away and can't be caught. But worst of all, she's forgotten that she's beautiful. It completely slipped her mind. It happens all the time. She's forgotten that she's beautiful. She can't recall who she wants to call. And now she's frozen at the number pad and leaning on a wall. Well, it's a misplaced memory, a temporary absentee. But worst of all, she's forgotten that she's beautiful. It completely slipped her mind. It happens all the time. She's forgotten that she's beautiful. Forgotten that she's beautiful. Forgotten that she's beautiful. Yeah, she's forgotten that she's beautiful. Oh.
Jeremy Little live on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. He's playing tomorrow night at Canal Public House with Todd Widener and Ford Theater Reunion. And check out what he's doing online, jeremylittlemusic.com. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here. This was such a pleasure.
Thank you, Juliet. This is just such a treat. Thank you so much.
And don't stay away so long next time.
I'm back. I'll be back here tomorrow. You don't mind that, do you?
Yeah, just come on by.
Right.
Check him out at Canal Public House with Ford Theater Reunion and this guy, Todd Widener from Shrug. That show is tomorrow night, and all the details are at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. This is 91.3 WYSO.